Hello, and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's weekly podcast.
Hello, hello. Hey. This might be our third week in a row.
Holy cow. Totally weekly.
Yeah.
try weekly for a week, for weeks. Yes, I am one of your hosts, Garth, Gar the Nelson.
And I'm Jen, Gar.
And we are both members of the Japan Professional Mahjong League, in case this happens to be your first time tuning in. let's see, what did you do this week? Did you play any Mahjong anywhere?
I did. Last week we had the, there is an article on ReachMahjong.com about it.
Nope.
We had the Internet Mahjong Championship.
Oh, yes.
Which we were both seeded into.
Nice to get a seed for once. Yay.
Yay. And we both ended up winning.
Yay.
We
made
it to the best 32, which is the semifinals.
You could say semi-quarterfinals, I guess.
Yeah. Semi-quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals would be 16, so yeah, semi-quarterfinals.
Yeah, next would be the quarterfinals, which I did write in the article.
yes. I think I had probably an easier time than you, since two people from each table got to advance, and then as we were sitting there waiting, it was determined that one of our people did not show up.
Wow.
So yeah, me and Sasaki, and I believe the other player was Keitai King or something.
And then you just put a CPU in there?
I think one of the admins from Hang Han Game, because the guy who said that we didn't have another player seemed to be playing after that. I don't know if he just signed in with himself as CPU or what happened there exactly. He didn't really seem to do anything all game, so I don't know if that person was trying to sort of play as if they weren't really there. And poor Keitai King guy, he was in first place going into the final game. it was two game match, and you just had to finish in the top two for your table. And in the first game, I think I was down in third place. He was in first place, and Sasaki was in second place. And we were all, it was about 5,000 points between each of us. And Sasaki pawns the red and white dragons. Ooh, oh ouch. No. Ah. And there's only one green dragon on the table. Ah. But I get to tempi. I get to ready with nothing in my hand except for Epekel. So I have the 6-6, 7-8-8 of dots. The only tile I can win on is the only tile I'm waiting for anyway. So I don't necessarily need to reach. But you know, I'm also kind of not in a place to win with that hand. I'm just kind of hoping somebody throws my seven of dots. And two draws later, what do I draw but another Hatsu? Oh, well, this is lame.
Green dragon.
Yeah, another green dragon. Yeah. So what do? I reach with the green dragon, because I can also see the other two six of dots discarded on the table.
Whoa. Wow. Stop.
Extra special sound effects.
Oh my god.
Totally unanticipated. Unanticipated.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. Guess I'll try to keep the story shorter.
I was trying to, we're having a live show after this, and I was just opening up the Nico.
Testing.
The Nico Nico channel, and
tricky Nico Nico
made it really loud. Okay, continue.
Oh no, yeah. So that's basically I got Hatsu, or I got a green dragon. Looks scary, of course, with Hisato pawning Haku and Chun, and I'd already thrown Kokushi to him the week before, the 13 orphans. So I was coming off a recent Yakuman experience with Hisato. But I threw Hatsu and reached, and what does the guy in first place do? But he throws my seven of dots on the very first round. So I get reach, Ippatsu, first turn win, Ippeko, and then I got an Uradora also. Just blam, slide right into first place on kind of a lame play. where I was not. I played weak.
Well, until, now you're forbidden to complaining. You're forbidden from complaining about other people's weak plays for at least another week or so.
I don't know. You can. I mean, if somebody wanted to complain about the way I played that there, I would totally understand what they're complaining about because I played pretty weak. I mean, if it was a hand worth reaching for, I should have reached as soon as I got to Tenpai. And then to reach when I throw, just because I have to throw the Hatsu there. I don't know, it's kind of a weak argument. If it was a hand worthy of reach, I should have been able to reach in the first place. To hang out, for the only reason that I'm not going to reach, just be the fact that I don't want people to be focusing on me, like I want people to be focusing on him with the Hatsu. As soon as I throw the green dragon, of course everybody knows that I'm Tenpai. So then I figure I might as well reach. It's a weak play. But as it turned out, it kind of worked.
That week.
Yeah, I don't know. I go back and forth. Well, also the idea of playing strong and playing weak, and when it serves you better to play strong and play weak, I'm having a hard time lately because I really shot myself in the foot there at Masters. But actually, before we go to talking about Masters, did you want to talk about your experience with the internet?
Oh, I kept dropping out. Like, my internet, nothing else on my internet had any problems, but,
Your connection to Han Game kept dropping out?
Yeah, Han Game kept dropping out.
Huh.
And, so I just had to open it up again. Luckily, it's a game that opens up really quickly once you drop out. You just press the button. So I only missed, I usually missed one or two draws with each dropout. But that was pretty...
kind of frustrating, yeah.
But somehow I still managed to. So the first game I got third place, I think. But not too negative. And I was playing with Koguruma Pro. And then, so at first I was in first place, but then I dropped out. And I don't know if that's the reason why I ended up down in third place, but definitely the first hand that I got cut off on. They discarded something I didn't want to discard. and I could have used.
That's
so,
pretty annoying.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think the other guy, maybe Koguruma was Reach, so I'm not sure if it made a huge difference. And then the second game, so I knew I had to get above Koguruma because he was in second place. And so I just calculated the points that I needed and tried to make sure I was ahead of him. And then in the end, I got first place. And if I had first place, I didn't... That was all I needed to be ahead of him. I think I needed... The Uma was like 20 points... Mm. A 20-point difference between second and third.
Right.
And third and fourth. I think so it's 1-3. Is it 10 and...
20 points. So
10
it's
and 20?
10-30, probably.
Is it 10... It's 10-20 or 10-30.
20 points between each... Oh, it was only 20-point difference between second and third?
So second was plus 10 and third was minus 10 for the Uma.
Right. And so then if it was going to be all even between everybody, it should be plus 30 for...
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was all even between everybody or not.
I don't really remember that either.
But, so if I was second and he was third, I had to be 10 points ahead of him. Because we had a 30-point difference. And they round up and down, so it was exactly a 30-point difference. So if I was 10 away, then... If I had 10 more points than him, it turns out to be 10,000. So if he had 25,000, I would need 35,000 kind of thing. And then in the end I got first place, so that was, since that's, there's a 25,000 starting stack, so they did have the Oka.
Right.
So I...
Like Antes?
Antes. So I think I ended up with 40 points, or 40 or 50 points ahead of him anyway, without the point difference. And he was in third place, and I was in first, so it worked out.
very nice.
Yeah.
I finished first, Sato finished second in the first game, and then we just switched places in the second one, except that he really took first place in the last game. Like, I think he had 60,000 points at one point, and may have dropped all the way down to 55,000 by the end of the game. And even I had 35 or 40,000 points by the end of the game, too, so both of the other players had almost no points by the end of the game. So yeah, we both Hisato and I advanced pretty easily from our bracket. But what I was going to continue with, like on that theme, so kind of playing strong or playing weak, and when to decide not to do, or when to decide, you know, when it's going to benefit you to play which way. last week you may I may have said a little bit about how like when I was trying to qualify for the Masters main tournament at the qualifier, I played kind of quiet. Like I didn't really have hands that sort of justified going big, and I kind of made it through by not really playing big and just kind of taking a few points here and there when I could get them. And I guess I probably should have done that on Sunday too. Like I had a good first and second game, so I had two positives there, and so you know, started off with plus 40 points there. I think it was actually plus 48. Then kind of had a big minus in the third game, and I really didn't have anything to work with in that game. Also with a very annoying pro player who had some just really, really big movements that just take way too much time for a tournament that's timed.
Yeah, I feel like lately that there's just so many... There's just never enough time to go for a big hand anymore. I really get that feeling lately.
In any Mahjong setting?
Anywhere I play, I just feel like everybody's just, like, rushing to...
get a cheapy hand, yeah.
And not even cheapy. Whenever I rush, it ends up being a cheapy hand. But somehow they rush and it's a huge hand. And I don't... I can't do that.
Yeah. She was playing really, really small Mahjong. And got a little bit of a lead. And then when somebody else happened to be dealt a really big hand, she threw 12,000 points to him. So it's like, oh, that'll show you to play that way. Except that it didn't really show her much with respect to me because I never had anything to work with. And of course, I missed one of my turns as dealer because she just took so long to play all of her hands. I don't know, I found that really frustrating. And for all the complaints that they've given about the way other people's motions screw up the game, I feel like that had a much larger effect on the game and was really beyond just rude. It was an unfair strategy. So yeah, that was really frustrating in the third game. And then in the fourth game, I kept winning like a 3,900 point hand, and then I'd throw a 3,900 point hand, and then I'd win another 3,000 point hand, and then throw another 3,000 point hand. Like I just kept hovering around 30,000 points. Couldn't really put anything together.
So exasperating.
Yeah, and then I get to my last turn as dealer, and I get to ready with a monster. I've got, I actually drew the seven of cracks to give myself in cracks 5-6-7, 5-6-7. Plus, I've got 5-6-7 in the bamboos, and I've got 5-6 in the dots. Plus, I believe my head was probably dots. I cannot remember what my head was, but it was definitely going to be a simples hand, Tao Niao, and Pinfu, and I already had in peace, and I already had the Ipeko double run, right? Plus, if I get seven of dots, it's three colored runs, so it's a monster. Even if I don't reach, if somebody does throw my four. Okay, it's only 5,800 points, but still, with respect, that would have 5,800 points from anybody would still have put me in first place with one hand to go. I'm not sure for sure what the right move to do there is, but having reached, it definitely did not work out for me. I reached, the player to my right threw Dorda, which is something that I had already thrown before, so it was safe for her. And then somebody, the guy to her right, pawned Dora, and she said, and that she was going for dots. And as it turns out, all the dots that I wanted went to her after that. And not only did all the dots that I wanted go to her, they went to her in such a way that she ended up reaching a few draws later, and I threw Baimon to her. So 16,000 points.
And, I also get the feeling lately that, like, when I reach, it's just everyone else's cue to start going for it.
Yeah, I've definitely had that feeling in a lot of situations too. And since I had that feeling recently, I'm wondering if, okay, then that's my cue to start playing smaller Mahjong, especially when I've got a monster in my hand already. And if they're just going to be, you know, I don't know, if somehow my reach just seems to help them, then why not take my relatively big hand? And actually, so if somebody throws my Seven of Dots, that's going to be 12,000 points. That puts me way into first place. If I manage to actually draw my Seven of Dots, that's 6,000 points from each player. If it ends up being the Four of Dots, it's a little disappointing. It's only going to be 2,600, but that still also puts me back into first place. And definitely my theme that seemed to have been working since the beginning of the qualifiers was to play kind of small. And I really don't know. I'm really torn on this because I can't, I don't feel like it's, I would rather play strong and win. And yet I feel like probably there I could have won, or at least I would have had a much better chance of winning as it turned out. It's definitely a little bit of looking at it back, you know, hindsight is 20/20. Yes. I'm definitely looking at it from the perspective that, oh, I lost and so I should have played differently. But I don't know, for some reason, like you say, like you have this feeling that lately that when you reach, it's everybody's cute. Oh, okay, now I can just go for it.
Yeah, Jen reached. There's no way she's going to win.
3 points, woo!
That's exactly how it feels lately. And it's not like I can draw my winner.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, I think playing Fight Club,
mm-hmm.
I reached with waiting for three tiles,
mm-hmm.
three types of tiles, so 12, 11 total, I think. None of them are on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so from my point of view, there's still 11 left. At the end, it was Yukyoku, so it was a draw ended in a draw. Everybody was Tenpai. I had reached with this. Everybody was Tenpai. I could see 8 of the tiles that I needed.
In people's hands.
In people's hands, plus the one that I had. That means 3 of them were in the dead wall.
Three out of a possible 12. Yeah, 25% in 13, the dead wall. Yeah.
13 that you can't see at the dead wall.
Of your possible right. winner. Yeah, that's 25% in the dead wall, which is only 14 tiles, one of which you can see. That is kind of a surprisingly large ratio.
It's amazing. It is a surprisingly large percentage of the time that I cannot win on a three-sided weight.
That is frustrating, for sure.
Yeah, it just seems very common lately. And I don't know if it's like just a streak, or maybe it's just that this game hates me.
I don't know. One of my problems, I think, is just I don't think I've been playing enough. And it really does come down to finding a balance between when to go for it and when to play small. And right now, I don't have a feeling for when I should do that. And I end up going big when I should probably go small, and going the opposite way when I should probably go big.
So do you ever think about just, like, okay, I'm going to reach here. Wait, I just thought I should reach, so now I'm not going to.
Second-guessing myself?
No, not second-guessing, just doing the opposite of what you think you should do.
That's sort of second-guessing. Isn't that sort of the definition of second-guessing yourself? Like,
but actually, like, no, that using that as an actual strategy. So I'm going to do the opposite of whatever I did. So it's not second-guessing so much as second-guessing, like, I wonder if I really should do this.
Just contradicting yourself.
Yeah, completely contradicting
yourself. Self-contradiction.
Yeah. But only when it gets to reach or not reach.
I think
we need a t-shirt that says to reach or not to reach.
Yes.
Who would buy that t-shirt?
Probably I would certainly buy that t-shirt. I have always, I think from the very first article I wrote about reach, I think that was probably one of my little slogans.
Yeah, that's probably it. We need to, hey Gemma, get on that.
Yes. T-shirts.
I think Vistaprint does t-shirts. We need a sponsor, too. Go talk to Vistaprint.
Yeah, it's to getting, yeah, the to reach or not to reach, that's always one of the big ones. And that's probably going to be where you're going to make your hand bigger or smaller, and you're going to be tipping people off to the fact that you may or may not have a big hand. And, yeah, I get the feeling people definitely think it's cooler when you win playing big. When you win playing small.
It is way cooler.
Well, yeah, it's cool to have...
It's way more badass.
Yes, it's cool. It feels cool to have told everybody, hey, I'm about to win, and then you actually do win. But it doesn't feel very cool to tell everybody, hey, I'm about to win, and then actually you lose. And not only that, you lose miserably like a dog because you throw Baimon to...
I do that a lot, too.
Someone who actually seems to hate playing Mahjong. Like, why? Every time she's there, she wins a hand. It's like, oh my god, I want another hand. Oh, I hate it when I win hands. Why do I have to win so many hands all the time? And you're like, well, don't. You don't, actually. You could just not win the hand. It doesn't look at all like you enjoy winning the hand.
You
can
go home.
Yeah, I know. There's got to be something else to do besides playing Mahjong, which you apparently seem to hate. Never seen a smile ever on your face. Yes, that's who I lost to there in that hand. And then miserably after that, too, she'd like...
Why am I in a Mahjong chair again?
Again? Why does this keep happening to me?
Why do these tiles keep coming up from the table? Why do you keep pushing that button?
She does seem to have a weird dilemma before her. But yes, that's who I lost to, and it was frustrating because I had a monster, and I really... If I, you know, all right, you never know if how differently things would have turned out had you played differently.
Right.
Certainly, when I played it that way that time, it did not work out well for me. And certainly, the way I'd been playing from the week before, it seemed to be working out better for me to not go for it big.
But I think I hear a lot from you. When you're not reaching much, you usually win a lot more. That's a pattern that I've heard a lot.
Yeah.
I remember one time a couple of years ago, and they're like, "Oh, Garth, you're so strong. I never know when you're ready because you were never reaching."
I did do that for a while, and I'm
anti-reach phase.
And I'm trying to put together a bigger hand in the first place, so that's why I guess. I don't need to reach as much. Although I would hate for my reach to become, oh, Garth reached, that must mean he doesn't even have a hand point in his hand. Like, otherwise, why would he reach? Must be super weak. So yeah, I don't know. Gotta find that balance. And I right now, I just don't feel like I have the balance. And I think one of the biggest reasons is that I just don't have, I'm not working at a place where I have to play Mahjong all the time. I'm just not playing enough Mahjong.
So let's play.
Okay.
Let's play on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, well, see, chance to play. We got to give a shout out to our buddy Mike Sudano, who's in town. Yay, Mike.
Yay. So play Friday.
Mike Sudano from the U.S. Professional Mahjong League. No? No. Well, anyway, he's from New York, and there are people there that play Mahjong. Oh, he's not actually from New York anymore, huh?
I don't know. I just know Mike Sudano. We're going to play with you on Friday.
Yay.
Shout out.
Woo. Thanks for coming to Tokyo. I hung out with him last night in at Thunderbolt. Yay, Thunderbolt.
Oh, you did?
Dragged him over to our little local bar in Nakameguro.
I thought so. I thought that you would be the person to, if he wanted to partay.
He did say he wanted to partay.
I don't partay anymore.
Well, you're going to be partaying a little bit this weekend, sort of, in a manner of partay speaking.
No, I'm not. You guys are going to. I'm just going to wear my short shorts and my bikini.
I don't know if I actually got myself to short shorts wearing status yet.
I was pretty much already there. I'm just toning right now, but I got a lot of... I'm going to get my hair did tomorrow.
Nice.
And I'm going to... get also hair removal tomorrow.
Information.
I'm gonna put on extra hair and I'm gonna take off unwanted hair tomorrow. It's gonna be a nice little exchange.
You think wouldn't it be easier to just move it around?
You'd think. Well, yeah. Anyway, it's gonna be a lot of hair stuff tomorrow.
Yes. Besides the hair conversation, in case you're not, you're kind of wondering what vacation plans we're talking about. This is Golden Week in Japan. It's the time that half the country, or basically all of the country, has off. So at least half
anyone
the country
basically
is
not in retail or service industry. Yeah. Is off.
So, yes, the whole country goes on vacation at the same time, and we have rented a cottage or
cabin
or something or other on the beach in Chiba.
Yeah, just for one night only.
For one night only, which, and it may or may not be warm enough to go swimming, but I'm hoping it's warm enough.
And I'm still going to walk around in my swimsuit, because I got two swimsuits, and I already have two swimsuits. I think that's four swimsuits.
By the transitive property, I guess.
Two plus two is usually four.
For average values of two. Sometimes five for large values of two.
Yes.
I guess, you know, if they were for American people, maybe they would be.
Oh, my swimsuits are small values of two, I think.
So there might only be three.
And I realized that the colors I got, I can mix and match, so.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to have fun with my... I got a black swimsuit and a white swimsuit. And I already have a flower print swimsuit. So there's going to be lots of Jen and bikinis this weekend.
Well, you know, one night only. Yes.
Yeah, be jealous.
All
but
right.
It's just a warm-up for summer.
Yes.
I'm going to be in bikinis like every day in summer, I think.
Do we have any other events coming up?
No, but we have news.
News?
I have a big meeting tomorrow.
Big meeting.
A normal sized meeting.
With?
About putting Mahjong tables on mahjongmart.com.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Can you give an idea like how much tables would actually go for on mahjongmart.com? Or?
I think I'm looking at the cheapest for the cheapest automatic table.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping it's going to be around 2,000 US including shipping.
2,000 yes, including shipping.
Yeah, it may go up a couple hundred, but definitely less than 2,500 including shipping. This is obviously for shipping, not on the flight. It'd be on a ship, so that's 1 to 2 months.
Uh-huh.
It's gonna go up when you go up to like air travel and stuff like that. But hopefully, we can come up with some affordable stuff for all of you. In other countries, you're going to have to pay duties, though, if you don't live in America. So we have a little duties calculator and stuff going on as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, but hopefully we can get them up and at least get a small amount of tables starting to be exported.
That would be pretty cool, get more people on those tables, because it was clearly a huge draw at PAX East, besides even the Mahjong players, who were obviously interested in it. Just people walking by, I thought they were like just amazing.
Yeah.
And you know what I like after telling that story to Japanese people here, the number of Japanese people that were like, "Oh, what? They have automatic tables?"
Like, I know. Like, if you don't play Mahjong, I mean, like for us, that's just a normal everyday thing, right? When you don't play Mahjong, it doesn't matter what country you're from. It's amazing.
It's pretty, It is. It has somehow become extremely mundane to us, and yet it's really, really. It's actually a really cool part of our game.
It's become so mundane that I'm just like annoyed now that I don't get my starting hand when we play tournaments. And everybody sitting at the table just presses the middle button, like they do when the hands come up.
Uh-huh.
When we play in JPML tournaments, we have to roll the dice and take our hands. And for that, you have to press two buttons. You press the corner button to bring the tiles up, and then you press the middle button to roll the dice.
Right.
But when you're playing at a parlor, you just press the middle button, and your hand comes up and everything.
Right.
You just press one button. And it never fails that there's at least two or three people at each table who are just in the habit of only touching the middle button, especially when you're at the ultimate table. So they roll the dice before they even press the button to bring the tiles up.
Yeah, that's why I make a point of pressing both buttons at once. Which,
wow,
I've never seen anybody, I don't understand why nobody does that. It just seems like it's very natural to just go
the middle button.
It seems really natural to just put your middle finger and your index finger and just go blink and you've got.
Or we could just get rid of the obsolete dice and press the middle button.
Well, there you
Especially in timed tournaments, I think.
Yeah, I can definitely see the argument for that there. And especially since you've still got people even in our league, which is has a reputation for people playing quickly in general.
It does.
And even our league, we can't finish really games. Quickly. Yeah, I certainly lose quickly.
I play really quickly, especially when I'm mad.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
take that, everybody.
Feel my anger.
Alrighty then. Well, that's about all the news we have for this week. I don't know of any Mahjong coming, since we have the Golden Week coming up. There won't be any big stuff coming up this week. Maybe I'll have some crazy news from Sparta or something. But thanks for listening. If you like, if you'd like to get in touch with us, I am Garth E, GARTHEEE on Twitter, and Jen is Mahjong Jen with just one N at the end.
Yes.
And if you want to send us mail instead, I am Garth E, GARTHE, just one E, at reachmahjong.com. And Jen is JENN, two N's this time, at reachmahjong.com. Drop us a line. We love to hear from you. And that about wraps it up for this week of reachmahjong.com's weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. Catch you next week.
See ya.